In today's episode, Dr. Kashi discusses the two main types of frustration aversion, escape and delay, using examples like chronic dieting struggles to illustrate the point. Dr. Kashi explains how these distorted belief systems falsely assume that ignoring or avoiding problems will resolve them. Roll the intro!
Hello, and welcome to Coffee with Kashi. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Kashi. As hinted in the previous section about the frustration aversion paradox, fapping, there are two main types, okay? The first you learned about already, outright aversion or avoidance, with the Seinfeld example. George Costanza spending 40 plus hours per week to maintain his unemployment status. The other being delay, rather than outright avoidance. This is better known as procrastination. The outright aversion is also easily and somewhat comically taxonomized, to use a fancy Aristotelian language, into two more categories, and more presumably as most anything could be, but these categories are discrete. They are discrete enough that they are worth mentioning in any case. The two types, two salient types of outright frustration aversion are out of sight, out of mind, and out of mind, out of sight. The silliness of these distortions are readily apparent when stated as conditional syllogisms, a fancy egghead word for logical thinky thingies, because it is easier to see how they are just distorted BS. Belief systems. They cultivate demands of the world and are blatantly false. And obviously this leads to frustration because what you expect, what you demand, will end up conflicting with reality, and that is disturbing, especially when you reinforce the distorted BS instead of, you know, changing the BS to fit reality, you know. In any case, a person holding those beliefs will eventually succumb to the frustration aversion paradox and get caught fapping. How embarrassing, okay? So, here are the conditional syllogisms. If out of sight, then out of mind. If I ignore it, then it will go away and spontaneously resolve itself. And if out of mind, then out of sight. Ignorance is bliss, even if, especially if, willful ignorance. It is only a problem if I am aware it is a problem. Okay? Or frustration, as it were. Okay? Depending on the event. Okay, so let's discuss the first. The absurdity of these premises, at least the first one, is understood by virtue of it being an idiom or a saying. Out of sight, out of mind is a colloquialism referring to people's tendencies to forget things unless they are consistently stimulated by them. Although it's easy to see in concept that forgetting something is a bit different than resolving it, real life dictates people lean on this distortion on the daily. If a person forgets a stimulus, especially a frustrating stimulus, then there's the distorted BS they tell themselves, the beliefs they hold, that presumes responding to that and thus resolving that stimulus is now an option, because if you ignore it long enough, then it will eventually, obviously, go away on its own, resolving itself. Duh. That is genius. Why didn't I think of that? Just throw your bills in the lake. They can't track that shit. Let's use a fun food and eating example with a person that's chronically frustrated by their self-diagnosed over fatness and thus dieting, okay, to resolve it. If there are tons of snacks and snacky foods and other pre-made goodies and the like around the house and a person tends to graze because they are a grazer, whatever that means, typically it just means they give themselves permission to eat whenever they want while leveraging that as permission to fabricate other fairness frustrations like, I don't eat very much, how can this be, why do I work so hard for nothing, they can eat anything they want, I can't stand it, etc., etc. They may understand deep down that most grazing or snacking or whatever term they want to use is probably detrimental to resolving the chronic frustration of their self-diagnosed over fatness and thus frustrating their achievement by extension. Possibly also causing trouble with their blood markers, waistline, body image, self-esteem, and so on, especially when they notice that the things they graze on, although small in size, pack the nutrient density of a full meal sometimes. Two peanut butter cups, for example, pack nearly the same amount of metabolizable carbon as 1.5 pounds or 680 grams of broccoli. So even though you are not eating very much, which is technically true, Metabolizable carbon is the only thing that matters. Even if you don't believe in calories, they believe in you. That's a meta reading, by the way. Okay. In any case, if that person decides to ban snack foods from the house or chastise anyone for leaving snacks or goodies out, as well as hiding or throwing away or donating snacks they do have or junk foods or whatever people call it, okay, does this eliminate the stimulus? Actually, yes, it does, and there is practical value to this, for sure. Does it, however, resolve the distorted BS and thus the stimulus thinking, feeling, and urging? Okay, where are the magic cards? Here they are. Is it here? Yes. What happens when they STFU? Okay, does it resolve the BS that perpetuates the stimulus thinking, feeling, and urging, which leads to the impulsive and likely destructive responses they have around pre-made foods out in the open? Until the BS they tell themselves around grazing and snacking is rectified, okay, then they will effectively have to restrict themselves for eternity and be hyper-vigilant of their surroundings and everybody in it all the time. This, of course, is absurd. That restriction quickly leads to disinhibition when, rather than if, there are snack foods around, and they will blow out under conditions with convenient pre-made foods available. Parties, holidays, at work, etc. Okay? Here's what ends up happening. Right? This is the cycle that ends up happening. This is the SRO cycle, the analogous one, right? I must restrict, or else I will blow out. Then I will punish myself, okay? If only I hadn't have done that. I'm punishing myself, and now I have to restrict myself even further, okay? So this is what ends up happening. The restriction leads to disinhibition, okay? When, rather than if, there are snack foods available, they will blow out under the conditions that convenient pre-made foods are available. Again, parties, holidays, work, etc. Or general neglect of the rules around the house, right? People come home with snacks and leave them out, etc. The frustration aversion paradox strikes again. And since everyone else is so rudely violating their rules on account of their distorted BS, I must not snack, you must take all that stuff out of the house or else, okay, they can now categorize the people around them and their environments as frustrations, while at the same time abdicating the responsibility of resolving their personal frustrations to external sources. Genius! Make it somebody else's problem. Or something else's problem, preferably something that is completely lacking in the nervous system. If you make it the food's fault, well then, good luck, the food will never solve it and it'll be a problem forever. Okay. However, this has built-in permission to obviate the response, going right from stimulus to outcome, A to C thinking. I can't believe the holidays ruined my goals, this is horrible. Why do they keep bringing snacks into the house? They are destroying my progress. What a nightmare. I can't stand it. Out of sight, out of mind? STFU with that BS. Presence of mind would do you better. Okay. This leaves us with the second term to contend with. Out of mind, out of sight. A little intro here. Granted, I just made it up by butchering the first term, and I brazenly depend on context clues to provide its meaning. Thus, out of mind, out of sight implies that a person only deems something worthy of existence if they have valid evidence, at least valid to them, supporting its existence. You might see where this is going. This is often represented as colloquialisms like ignorance is bliss, and what I don't know can't hurt me. Well, if I just throw the scale away, well then, how can anything count? Ooh. I can just avoid taking the test and then, you know, maybe, I don't know, nothing, it's all good. What I don't know can't hurt me. I will just ignore what is there. Yeah, okay. Again, this is often represented as colloquialisms, ignorance is bliss, what I don't know can't hurt me. We'll cover this next time. So that's all she wrote today, kind of. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!